If you have noticed, both that song and the one we started off with, same song, it's called The Holy City.
It's a story about Jerusalem itself. Today we're in the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, this and 22nd, which will probably finish us all up next week of that, and it talks about heaven itself. That's why I want us to emphasize the Holy City. We pick up in the 21st chapter, beginning with the 9th verse. One of the seven angels who had seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great mountain up high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Give us your strength and courage, Lord. But no matter what difficulties we face in our daily life, no matter what difficulties we've gone through in the past, no matter what difficulties face in the future, that we, because of the love of God, because of the love of Jesus and His sacrifice, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit, shall make us through it. Give us forgiveness of sin. Give us a strength of courage. Give us a blessing when we serve others, those who are sick, those who are ill, those who are facing recovering from surgery and treatments. For our military, for our men and women missionaries over in the other field, bless them. Bless our nation, Father, as the decision comes soon to the direction of this country through its leadership, and may those who are of your choice win. Now give us your guidance and strength, and be with your speaker, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Last week in the 21st chapter, John starts off, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. It had been predicted from God all the way back to the Garden of Eden with the first sins by Adam and Eve as they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that there would be a redemption time coming. Now, depending on how you date, and I take a literal date description of the Bible, but depending on how you date, several thousand years passed till David and Solomon. And another 950 years passed from Solomon to Jesus. And that redemption came. Came as a baby in the stable, we know. And another about a month, we'll be talking about that and preparing for the coming of Jesus, the babe. But more important than that is the adult Jesus, who lived the perfect life, who taught us what we needed to know, who sacrificed himself upon the cross. He arose to the power of his Father God anew, who met with the disciples, who met with the 120, who met with the 500, who preached to them, and he arose on the Mount of Olives to go to heaven and prepare a place for us that he promised. Now, John, about the year 94 to 96 A.D., was taken in a dream, in a vision, in the spirit, he says, to heaven and be shown about what was expected. At first, it was Christ teaching about the seven churches in Asia Minor, the good things and the bad things that went on, and what he expected to come from it. And John also gave us the descriptions of what to expect. He talked about the great and the final war between Satan and the Antichrist and the demons and all that they did to try to kill God's children and take them with him. Not to heaven, but to hell. But there was a great battle, and it was won. And Satan and the Antichrist and all them were defeated, thrown in the pit for 1,000 years, the millennium we talk about, then to come out for a small time, the rage war, until Christ came back to conquer them forever and ever. Now, after you conquer a land, you're supposed to do something with it. After you conquer a people, you're supposed to do something with them. And that's exactly what Jesus is planning to do. Not to punish us for the sins of this world, but to reward us for our forgiveness, to take us to be with him as he promised in the 14th chapter of John, "I go to prepare a place for you." This is what we call heaven. No longer will there be a separate place called Jerusalem in the middle of Israel, a very troubled nation, a nation that we need to be in prayer for constantly, because God told us that those who blessed Abraham and his descendants will be blessed by God. Those who cursed Abraham and his descendants will be cursed by God. We pick up now one of the angels. There were seven angels that seemed to be around him doing most of this. He had one of the seven bowls involving the last plagues. But now he comes to John in a different thing, not to kill and destroy parts of the earth, but to show John what he scratched at, what we needed to know. Went up to a tall mountain. And there he showed him what was about to take place. I will show you the bride. The church is called the bride of Christ. He carried him away. And they looked down at the holy city, the New Jerusalem, we call it in that song specifically. It shone with the glory of God. There was a tremendous light coming from the New Jerusalem. And it was not the light by the sun nor the moon. It was iridescent light from God Himself, from Christ that was there. We do not need the sun and the moon any longer, for God provides for us the light that we need. What a great, great promise that is. If you've ever looked out on a crystal clear day when you get away from the lights of the city and you see the big northern star and it seems to brighten things up for us? Well, this will be far more shining and seen by more people than even the northern star that we look at. It was it shone like the glory of God. Its brilliance was that of a very precious jewel, like jasper, as clear as crystal. It had great gates, 12 of them, on a high wall all the way around it. These gates were going to be open, because God keeps no one out of heaven that's already there. You can come and go freely. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. 3 of the gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 in the west. So just imagine a huge fenced-in area. We would call it a fort today, much greater and grander than that, with 3 gates on each side for people to go in and out of. The wall of the city had 12 foundations. When you put in a gate, you put in a great, deep, heavy foundation to hold the weight of the gate, to have the strength for that gate to open and close. If you just stuck it straight in the ground, it would, of course, sink and fall over. The wall of the city had 12 foundations. On them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now, although the heaven will contain both those who were in the Old and New Testament that served God, but also the New Testament, we seem to intermingle and be a part of it. But the foundations of the church itself were Christ and then the apostles. It did not mention the 12 tribes of Israel. It did not mention any of the patriarchs or anyone like that. It is the basis of the truth that the apostles told us. And any thought, belief, religions that are based entirely on the Old Testament misses the point. Because the main purpose of the Old Testament was to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. John the Baptizer told that. It was pointing toward the coming of the Savior, the Messiah, Jesus Himself. So therefore, the 12 gates had the names of the 12 apostles who gave the gospel. Now, we'll minus Judas for what he did, betraying Jesus. Insert Matthias, who was chosen by short straw or cast the dice or something like that. He was chosen, directed by the Holy Spirit, of which one it should be. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city. Can you imagine a yardstick? I mean, we all go to Home Depot or Lowe's or a paint store and buy a yardstick. Can you imagine a yardstick made of solid gold? If we had that, we'd lock it up 2 or 3 times and not tell ourselves where we hid the key, because it would be valuable. But in heaven, gold is so common, you make a yardstick out of it, or a measuring stick, if you wish, out of it. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it is wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 strata long. That equals about 1,500 miles. So take in your mind a square. I don't see any squares. Take in your mind a square that's 1,500 miles each direction. Now, I can't calculate that in my head, but that's a whole lot. Trust me, that's a whole 1,500 miles. That would be from here, past Indianapolis, wouldn't it? Yeah, Chicago. Yeah, that's big. And all the way to the front side of the United States, that's pretty big. I'll take that. And it was that high as well. 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles tall. Massive area. Massive enough to put all the saints in God in, that we can live and work as well. He measured its wall, and his wall was 144 cubits wide. Now, a cubic is approximately 1.5 feet, so we're talking about 144, another 72 makes a whole lot. About 210 feet wide. That's a wall. We're only about 90 feet from fence to fence here. Double that almost. That's a pretty good size wall. I don't think anybody could get through that. But the difference is we won't need to get through it because the gates are wide open for God's children. The wall was made of jasper, the city of gold, pure as glass. The foundations of the city were located in every kind of precious stone. Jasper, sapphire, chalcedony, emerald, sardox, carnelian, crystallite, beryl, topaz, chrysoprase, jacqueline, and amethyst. Now, I'm going to put those in English for you because I don't know Old Testament names. Those are the 12 stones, by the way. They're on the breastplate of the high priest when he wore it. Jasper, not opaque, but crystal clear, perhaps like a diamond. Sapphire, blue, transparent, the same stone we know today. Chalcedony, used word for quartz found in Asia Minor. It was usually silky color or milky colored. Emerald, typical green color of green. Sardox, it's an aggregate. Alternating stripes and layers of rich brown and white, what we use for making the ladies' little cameos that they wear as decorations. Crystallite, a shade of green. It literally, the word transforms, gold stone. Beryl, hard, luxurious machine, sea mineral, sea green in color. Topaz, yellow topaz was used as a gem. Chrysoprase, quartz, apple green in color, semi-precious stone. Jacqueline, a reddish-orange precious stone. Some say it's that or a blue color like a sapphire. Amethyst, same as we have today, almost a transparent quartz. The 12 gates were pearls. Each gate reached all the way to the top. A pearl that's 1,500 miles tall. What an oyster dinner that must have been. And I don't even like oysters. I mean, God used things. Now, why did he list those stones? Let me tell you why. Gold. The old story is a rich man came by the angel, told him he was going to die the next day. And the angel said, I can't go. Or the rich man said, I can't go. I got too much. I need a suitcase. He said, a suitcase? He said, yeah, I need a suitcase. So the man was busy all night. He found the biggest suitcase he could find. And when the angel came to pick it up, it was quite heavy. He opened it up and it was full of gold bars. He zipped it and he took it up to the gates of heaven and they checked it again. It's full of gold bars. The angel checked it and said, hey, another load of bricks. The things that we consider so precious, God considers indescript. It's not important. And that day, the gold and the jewelry and all those stones that people have warred over and fought over and had great battles over are nothing but building materials, the same as concrete or wood. It shows us God only appreciates what he has created for the purpose it's being used. And the things we lift up so high and do so much for, absolutely useless in the building process, but filler. He goes on to say, the great street was pure gold, like transparent glass. It just shone greatly. I did not see the temple. I did not see the temple in the city, because God, the Lord God Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. Now, the history of Israel is based about the importance of the tabernacle first, and the temple, Solomon's temple, and then later on Herod's temple. That's what the laws were represented. That's where they saw God sitting, or imagined God to be sitting with them between the Ark of the Covenant, between the wings of the Ark of the Covenant. But there was no temple in heaven. We said, well, why in the world would God not have brought his home, his resting place, to heaven, which would be all of our final place? It's simply because we shall be with God. Where he lives, we will live. And we don't need a big old building to house God, because the big old building can't house God and his strength and his power and his brilliance. And we don't need a building to hold a place for Jesus to be, because there's not building enough to hold what Jesus can be in all his structure and all his power and his strength. And the same with the Holy Spirit. That they are with us. We are at their home, a place that was built for us, that larger place to reward us by giving us the opportunity to be with him. When you were little, Can you, well, that's two words put together. Can you, a little, and can you remember? Can you remember growing up? And it was a big trip. I mean, we're going to, aren't you all going to sing the song in about 6 weeks, about 4 weeks, over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go? You remember that? Well, after we moved away and went to college, my grandmother, one lived about 300 feet away, and the other about 12 miles. It was a big deal to go see Grandma and Memo. Actually, we called her Nanny and Memo. But you know, that great feeling we'd had by going back home or being home will be nothing compared to being with Jesus. And everything that's precious, and everything that's important in our life has already been there for us. I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. And whither I go, thou shalt be. You see, God will bring us to Him. And a wonderful time it will be. He's made the preparations. He laid out the plan. The foundation and the walls are there. The open and closing ability of the great pearls as gates has already been done. And all that waits is for God to say it's time to Jesus to collect His harvest of the souls. First those who are in the grave and in the sea. Then those who are still alive. We shall all reach up together and meet with Him. And He shall take us to be with Him. What a great plan He has. And it won't be over the river and through the woods. It'll be up in the air and through the skies. When we not go to grandmother's house, but we go to God's house. A great and beautiful place. The words were so hard to come up with that they had to compare them to precious stones and jewels and all because it's beyond description. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it life. They say that when Moses met God upon the mount to get the Ten Commandments, when he came down, he had to put a cloth, almost a mask around his face because he had been in God's presence and his face glowed itself. Now, not in comparison, but let me give you this thought. First time you came down, you had to go to the beach, didn't we all? Aren't all that group is coming down for the first time in the next 6 weeks? And I have seen far too many go to the beach. They wake up the next morning and they're going, just glowing. I mean, you get close to somebody and you feel the heat coming off their arms or their back. Well, we're going to get sunburned being with God because we're going to be one of God's children. But the strength of the power of His energy will make the world glow. How great that is. We don't need the sun. We don't need the moon any longer. We get to walk by His light. And the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. When we get there, there will no longer be kings of the earth, though. But we're giving up that title. There will be sons and daughters of Christ. And we'll all be equal and be the same there. How important that is to know. On no day will the gates ever be shut. And there'll be no night there. Why do you put a door at your house? Well, down here you either have to have a door or a screen or you're going to get mosquitoes and no-see-ums. So let's back up out of that because I don't think there's any mosquitoes and no-see-ums there. Why else you put a gate up? To keep somebody from coming in that you don't want. Or if you got little ones, to keep them from going out, which you don't want. Well, at the time we go to heaven, we'll be mature. Now, I don't know. He talks frequently about I'll be a new creature. I truly believe in all my heart, arthritis, bursitis, cancer, strokes, any disability we may have will be gone. I mean, God has made us perfect, and however how He wants to make us, He will make us. And we won't complain about it because we've been made in His image. 6'4". Blonde. No gray in my beard. No ache in my back. And a song in my heart. That's how I can imagine it. Just beautiful. And the things of the old days won't even be remembered, let alone be painful to us. Because we are a new creature in God. He goes on to say, John does, in the honor and the glory of all nations we brought into it, nothing impure will ever enter it. Nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? In the days that we've gone through suffering for Jesus, our Sunday school this morning, Hebrews chapter 12, talks about that we will be tested, we will be tried. Things will happen to us that we don't understand and wish they didn't. But yet, those who overcome, seven times in the first part of Revelation, the writer says for us, those who overcome, those who overcome. Jesus was speaking to John. Those who overcome, those who overcome. If we're persistent, if we hold to the end, if we go in knowing that we're victorious because we've given our lives to Jesus through the confession. I used the words yesterday. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I accept Him as my Lord and Savior. That is the beginning of the rest of the world. Went down not into the water grave of baptism in a fiberglass pond. Went down into whatever that water is out there that's so nice and cold. Not too cold. And the baptism took place and a soul was joined with Jesus. And because we have been given that opportunity, and all those who take that opportunity will join Him once again. Not old or young, not well or sick, not infirm or in perfect health, but in the image of God. That's why it's called the Holy City. Because we became holy because we belong to God. He says nothing impure will be there. We're not only holy and protected, we are perfect. Now I know, particularly for those of us who have grandchildren, that they're perfect all the time. Anything goes wrong, it's their mother and father's fault because we know our part with them has been very good. But He's talking about life in general. Our lives will be pure. There will be no sins in our life. And everything will be anew. What a holy place it will be. We'll sing songs daily. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. What with today, what were and whatever more shall be. We'll be praising God and thanking Him for the gift He's given to us. I love this chapter. It's a promise. It's not like take this test and the last day of school is over with. It's not like take this test or do this paper, turn it in. We're going to have spring break or fall break or Christmas. This is forever and ever and then another day ever. And ever more than that, that we will be with Jesus, our Lord and Savior. What a holy time that will be to be with our Savior. We've told you about the place to give to the kids that need help for Christmas. We've told you how to get involved in the handbells, which, by the way, has no practice today, but be here at 3:30. There's your commercial. We've told you about that. We've told you about our social times, and we've told you about our dinners, and we've told you about a lot of other things. But let me tell you about the most important thing. For God so loved the world that He gave Him was His one and only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me go into the book of Acts, which will start as soon as we finish up Revelation. We're in the book of Acts, in the second chapter, after the great sermon, the day of Pentecost, and they turned to the apostles that were preaching, every man heard his own tongue, what must we do? To which Peter said the simplest thing, repent, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit in us, our actions may be wrong at times, or may even be bad. But we've got the Holy Spirit. We've been promised by Jesus. For those who are faithful, we shall be in the Holy City. Our hymn of invitation decision gives us an idea to act upon that. And I know where a great place is down by the waterside if you don't like the baptistry. We'll make it work. Stand with me as we sing number what?
500,
please. Stand with me as we sing 500.
Almost Persuaded.
I love that song.